Let's pray. Certain hope in uncertain times. O God, help us to see with your eyes the truth of this matter. We have certain hope in uncertain times. God, when we look at things that are happening around us, we know that you can change the hearts, as it says in Proverbs, the hearts of the kings, the leaders, worldwide around. Lord, you can work in the leadership of our country and the leadership of our neighboring country to see your will be done. God, you can work in such a way that your will is seen throughout this whole world. God, we ask that you would be with those who are suffering from illness, from natural disasters, from injustice, from poverty, from war, from famine. May your people in these areas, both home and abroad, be agents of certain hope in uncertain times. God, you are in control. Help us to recognize that always. And may we pray as the Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Good morning. That's great. Good. That's what we like to see, you know. And it's just a good time together in the house of the Lord. Amen. All right. And I just want to encourage us today with the passage of scripture that we were looking at, and wanting to see the Lord in a special way just reach down into all of our hearts this morning. And before we look into the Word, why don't we have a time of prayer for a moment? Father God, I just want to thank you so much for this day that you've given to us, the opportunity that we have to come together in freedom, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, the opportunity we have to come together around your word and glean from it, hear from you, and see the fact that you, in a very special way, are closer than we can even imagine within our own hearts and lives, because you love us with a love that will never let us go. Lord, we love you because you first loved us, and in so many ways, you continue to just be so faithful within our lives. We do not stand on our own abilities or our own capabilities. We stand solely on the faithfulness of our God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has accomplished everything that is required for us to be brought into your presence faultless before the throne. Oh God, thank you so much. In Jesus' precious and holy name, and all of God's people said, Amen. I enjoy I enjoy the reality of looking into the scriptures to find what God desires to reveal to us. And in my journey at times, as I think of today's message and stuff like that, I came across the New Living Testament that I have in terms of the version here. And I found that 1 Peter really opened up to me as I read from this version of the scriptures. And I just want to read it to you very quickly to let you see the warmth that is involved or in the whole desire that Peter has for the church. It is amazing when we think of Peter. A lot of us identify with Peter, don't we? He is one that very often had, what do they call it, hoof and mouth disease. And I know I, for one, am one that falls within that category. So when I think of what Peter went through and how much the Spirit of God transformed his life, and he comes to this point of bringing this epistle before the church, it's really quite something just to consider, to consider how God has moved in Peter's life to bring him to the point of what he shares as a leader for the church. And I just want you to hear what I believe is quite a warming and encouraging aspect of what is being said here in this epistle. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. I don't know about you, but I find that very inviting, don't you? All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested, as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him, even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their message was not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Certain hope in uncertain times. When I've been involved in chaplaincy in various areas in London, in the hospitals and areas like that, that God's given me opportunity to be a volunteer chaplain, I have always been one who has expressed hope, no matter what the situation is that people find themselves in. And the greatest hope of all, of course, is knowing Jesus Christ as one's Savior. And though we cannot and do not thrust our beliefs on anyone, I can appreciate the fact that, as was mentioned last week by Pastor Das, you might remember the show and tell that he mentioned last week, that I truly believe that we can show the hope that we have in Jesus Christ through our lives, and at the same time see God give us the opportunity to speak about that hope. We are ones that are called by God to do that and be encouraging people all around to those that we come into contact with. But what happens when we lose hope? There are people presently speaking that we may even know who are losing hope because of what may be happening in their lives. We come across the world's view on hope, for that matter. We may be ones who are expressing our hope and even are able to share our hope that is found in Jesus. And we might even ask the question to a person, do you have hope in what the Lord has promised? And they turn around and say, I hope so. I hope so. I wish we, as believers in Christ, would remove that sentence from our vocabulary. It's not, I hope so. It's not wishful thinking. If we have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior for the forgiveness of our sins and the gift of everlasting life, it is a certainty. God is the one who will keep us. God is the one who will prepare us. God is the one who has established this great and marvelous salvation that we have wrought through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not, I hope so. And it is not a case of being arrogant when we say, I know so, because I trust in my Savior. I trust in the Word of God. I trust what has been done on my behalf and is imparted to me by faith and faith alone. I cannot, I shall not, I will not boast in anything that I can do, but boast solely in Jesus Christ and what He has done for me. Amen. We can be ones who demonstrate this certain hope in uncertain times to a world that is looking for hope. And you don't have to go very far to find people who are eligible and wanting to receive the hope that God can give them. There may even be people here today who want to have that certainty of hope in their lives. And I welcome anyone to ask any question of any one of us who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior and see the reality within their own lives if they have not already come to that fact and have trusted in Him. It's not a wish. It's a promise. The empty tomb transforms hope from a mere possibility into an anchor for the soul. We even sang of that anchor. Jesus Christ. I think of the older hymn, Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life? We are ones who are seeing glimpses of that within our own lives today. The church that Peter was writing to was a church that was finding themselves under persecution, or at least the beginnings of persecution. They had not come to the height of that persecution that was about to start on the church, but the reality was that God was preparing His people for that persecution. Scripture is clear that if we live a righteous life in Christ Jesus, we will be what? Persecuted. We need to be grounded in the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. That hope that gives us an anticipation, an eagerness for looking forward to what is to be revealed. Being able to endure trials and realizing that those trials that come to our lives are not trials that are meant to hurt us, but are meant to, as we prayed this morning, grow us up. God is in the process of Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory, living inside us as the absolute guarantee of sharing in God's eternal presence and future splendor. There's three elements that are sitting in this passage that are very interesting. Mercy, grace, and peace. Mercy, grace, and peace. I heard a definition for mercy once was not receiving what you deserve. That's God's mercy. I heard another definition for grace that says receiving what you do not deserve. That's grace. And I heard a definition for peace, and that is the satisfaction, judicial satisfaction of God's wrath. All of those have been accomplished through Jesus Christ. Without Him, we have no hope. In Him, we definitely have certain hope. There's many other verses that we could turn to. And I don't know how many of you remember from days gone by a sword drill? Oh, look, some of you are, yes. Some of you know what a sword drill is. Well, guess what? I've got a few listings here of verses, and I want you to grab your Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's a Bible in the pew. And if you need to look at the index, that's fine. I don't mind. And what I want to do is get a little bit of participation at this moment. So, I'm going to I'm going to pick on George first, and I want you to head to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I'm going to go after Susan, Titus chapter 1, verse 2, and then we have a couple of visitors from Moncton there, and I don't know their names yet, but I'm going to give the gentleman Titus 3, verse 4. And his dear wife? No. Oh, okay. Second Peter 3, verse 9. And then over here, Kevin, I want you to do John 10, 28 to 30. And Christy. Christy, I want you to do, what did I give you, Romans 8? Oh, which one? John 10. Okay. Romans 8, Christy, verses 38 and 39. And then Sonny, I want you to do, huh? Oh, you're sharing. Okay. All right. Okay. Janine, Ephesians 1, verses 13 to 14. Karen, do you want to try one? Okay, John chapter 5, verse 24, that's terrible. Anyway, forgive me. Philippians 1, verse 6, and then over to Nancy. Jude chapter 1, verse 24, and Marilyn, 2 Timothy 2:19. That's quite a few verses, isn't it? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to listen to each verse that's read and see how God is encouraging us in terms of seeing the hope that we have in God. Okay, Romans 10, verse 9.
If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen. That is what? A promise. What is it saying? If you believe, and believe specifically that God has raised Christ from the dead, you will be saved. It doesn't say you have to do anything. It doesn't say you have to do this or that and all that sort of stuff. All it says is believe. Faith. Okay, Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Amen. Titus 1 verse 2, giving us hope. And specifically, it is a confident hope. It is not, I hope so. It is a confident hope. Titus 3 verses 4 to 7. Was that yours, sir? Yep.
He saved us through the washing of rebirth and filled by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out of us, generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life.
Amen. Again, confidence. Hope that is confident, that grounds us, that is there for us all the time. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Oh,
we need the microphone. You got the microphone? Yeah.
The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to praise, but everyone to come to repentance.
God wishes that none, as the King James version says, God wishes that none should perish, but that all people should come to repentance. In other words, God wants everyone to turn away from sin. And as we turn away from sin, our hope is established. Because we need to turn away from our sin, we need to come to Jesus Christ as our Savior, in whom we celebrate on the Lord's table today. Kevin. Yep. John chapter 10, verses 28 to 30.
Okay. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one.
Amen. Did you hear it? Did you hear God's word saying, no snatching? No one can take them away from me. No one can grab them. No one can pull them away from either the Father or even the Son. You are rock solid in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? I want us to go from the step of thinking here to coming down here. Don't just think out your salvation. Work out your salvation in the heart. Come to that point where you know you are His. Because as it says in Scripture, the devil goes round like a roaring lion. And what is the imagery? Seeking whom he may devour. God promises that greater is he that is in me, right? What's the rest of it? Than he that is in the world. Amen? The accuser of the brethren, Satan himself, may be there, and he always is there in our weakest moments. But we have an advocate with Jesus Christ who makes intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. Amen? Think upon these things. Let them sink into your heart. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. Was that? Which one? Oh, sorry, Romans. Yeah, let's not skip Romans. Romans 38 and 39.
Romans 8:38?
Yeah, 8:38 and 39.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. God has us. God keeps us. God, you can't even break yourself free from God. What does God's word tells us? We have been purchased with a price, and that price is the blood of Jesus Christ. We are His possession. And if He has bought us with such a precious gift as the blood of his son. Do you think he's just going to let us go? No. He loves you. He loves me. He loves everyone. And he desires everyone to come into his presence and be a child of God. Ephesians 1. Yes, go right ahead.
Ephesians 1, 13 and 14.
Yep.
And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Amen. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. He is our guarantee. Our inheritance is sure. John chapter 5, verse 24. Karen, I believe.
Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life.
Amen. Notice what John says. Here. Hear, believe, and you receive life. You cross over from death into life. From death, separation because of our sin before God, to life everlasting, given for us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6.
Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen. There's a song that goes to that verse, by the way. He who began a good work in you. He who began a good work in you will he is faithful to complete it. He is faithful to complete it. Oh boy. Yeah, that's right. Loop back. Anyway, he who began the good work in you, he who began a good work in you will complete it again. Anyway, he started the good work. He's going to finish the good work. And we can rest in that reality. Jude 1, verse 24. Nancy.
To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy.
Amen. Faultless, with great joy, standing before our God in total perfection. Not because of who I am or who you are or what I've done or what you have done, but all because of our faith in Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who enables us and establishes us as his child forevermore in his presence. That is wonderful. And lastly, the last one, Marilyn, 2 Timothy 2, verse 19.
Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness.
Amen. God knows who are His. And if we have a heart that is looking to our God in terms of hope, we will be ones who in our own lives stay away from evil. Remove the sin that is in our lives. The hope that is within us compels us to come before our God, make our confession before Him, and allow Him to do amazingly more than we could ever ask or even imagine. Because His Holy Spirit continues to work in our hearts and lives and will never, ever let us go. Amen. Let's pray. What a wonderful Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who in Him and through Him we have a blessed hope. The hope of glory, a certain hope that most definitely will keep us in the most even the most uncertain times. May You continue to work in our hearts, O God, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, committing our hearts and lives to Him in such a way that we see the reality that we're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. As we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper, may we be ones, Lord, who always remember what has been accomplished on our behalf and be ever grateful for every aspect of our lives found in You. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.